This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Yasmin Mujahid, and you're listening to Serenity, streaming live on One Legacy Radio. Today we're going to be talking about a question that a lot of people ask who are thinking about or planning on getting married. You know, either they're in the process or they're planning in the near future, or they're in the search for, you know, their a spouse. And the question is basically, you know, what exactly is one to expect after the wedding, and specifically what are some given the expectations, and then how to be successful after what you might call the honeymoon period. Basically, a lot of times what happens when people get into marriage, they come in often with very wrong and unrealistic expectations. And a lot of the planning, unfortunately, when you get into a new relationship or when you're getting into this commitment, unfortunately, so much of the planning goes into planning the wedding itself, the party itself, and very little preparation and planning goes into planning the marriage itself and the relationship that follows, you know, this few hours on one day, which comprises the wedding party. So it's important to first understand what are some of the expectations, maybe false expectations that we do have, recognize them, and then understand what are the proper expectations, and then some tools, you know, inshallah, we'll just talk about maybe some tools, to get past that period, which we'll call the honeymoon period. I think just generally one of the expectations, and I think one of the wrong definitions of marriage in general, is that you enter into marriage in order or for the purpose of this other person completing you as a human being. Now, the reason I think this is very dangerous is because that is expecting something from a human being which another human being cannot do for you. Another human being cannot complete you. Another human being cannot really, if you are expecting or relying on another person to make you happy, then you will never really fully or you'll never really find a consistent happiness. And the reason for that is that the only thing that can give you consistent happiness or fulfillment, and the only thing that can complete you, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and your relationship with Him. And so the idea that we are fed since we're very, very young, so starting from, you know, Disney when we're like 2 years old, this idea is that, you have this princess, right? And she is, for some reason or another, in some sort of distress. You look at, Cinderella, for example. She was basically in an abusive she was in an abusive home. Her stepmother is abusive. Her stepsisters are abusive. And she's very helpless. She cannot help herself. She cannot, get herself out of this situation or do anything for herself. And in fact, she needs to wait for a man, or in this case, a prince, to come and save her and to get her out of this situation, which she cannot get herself out of, or she cannot, she's not able to be, she's not able to rely on anything outside of this other person in order to save her. And that's if you look at, for example, the story of Sleeping Beauty, it's a very similar theme. With Sleeping Beauty, she's almost basically in a coma, right? She's close to death, essentially. And the only thing that can save her is a prince, coming and kissing her. So again, the idea, and this is the message of so many fairy tales, which is that you as a woman, targeting women, you as a woman are not complete until a man comes and saves you. You need a man to come and save you from something. And so really, women grow up with this idea that their life doesn't really begin until they get married, until they meet that other person and they get married. And this is a very, not only is it inaccurate, but it's a very dangerous thinking. What happens with that is that you have all these expectations, and essentially you're expecting this other person to do something which is not in their capacity to do. And that is to save you, to fix you, to fill you, to complete you. These are all things which another human being cannot do for you. These are things that you can only do through and by your relationship with your Creator. That's the only way that you are going to be saved or completed. So what happens with relationships, I think, with marriage, is that when you have this, all these expectations, very, very high expectations, you're coming into the marriage almost handing a person, okay, here's half of a person, or here's like a shattered heart, and I'm expecting you to fix it. I'm expecting you to put it back together. I'm expecting you, you're handing someone an empty hole inside of you, and you're expecting them to fill it. And this isn't something that another person can do. This is only something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do for you. And so I think what happens then is you have these expectations, you enter into the relationship, and then you have the crash, right? You have the disillusionment, the disappointment. And usually this will happen very early on. And so that's why you'll see things like, I think, the highest divorce rates happen in the first year of marriage, where you'll find these relationships where it's like they get married and they get divorced very shortly after. And I think that part of it, besides, that you find out perhaps things you didn't know about the person, but beyond that, I think it has a lot to do with these improper expectations, and this person is now not fulfilling those expectations. And it's a lot of disillusionment and a lot of disappointment. But the problem isn't with that other person. The problem is with my expectations. It's with the improper idea of what marriage is or is not supposed to be. So, another big myth that we inherit from the media and from love stories in general is that, again, the purpose of the relationship between a man and a woman, and again, I'm going to explain what I mean. There's a difference between the purpose of something, the ultimate, objective, and some, benefits of that, that relationship. Now, the purpose of marriage, a lot of people think, is for me to be happy. That's the purpose of marriage. The reason why I am marrying you is so you can make me happy. And this seems like a natural understanding, but in fact, that's actually inaccurate. The reason why I am marrying you is not so you can make me happy. Yes, you may make me happy, and that may be, and we hope, and we make dua, that would be definitely a benefit of the relationship. But ultimately, the reason why I am marrying you is because it is half of my deen, and because this is another act of ibadah. This is another way for me to get closer to my Creator and get closer to my ultimate objective, which is Jannah, inshallah, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, if you look at the two different ideas of why you're getting married, they completely revolutionize the way in which you respond and the way in which you act in that marriage. Inshallah, I'm going to take a short break now, and when we return, we'll examine these two different definitions of what marriage is. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome back. You're listening to Serenity on One Legacy Radio, and this is Yasmeen Mujahid. We are talking today about the concept of, preparing for marriage, what to expect, and how really to avoid the pitfalls that a lot of us face after the so-called honeymoon period. What we were just discussing was the different expectations and different ways of sort of conceptualizing, why are we getting married? Why are we in this relationship? And one of the most common ideas, I think it's the most, you know, prevalent idea of why I am getting married to you, or why we are getting into this, is that I am marrying you so you can make me happy. I am marrying you so you can fulfill me, so you can fill me. It's a very, almost if you break it down, it's a very, almost like a self-serving purpose. And while we all want to be happy, obviously, the problem is that we are expecting that happiness is going to come from this other person. And that's where the problem lies, because this happiness does not come from the creation. Happiness only comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we seek the creation to fill us, to fulfill that void that we have inside of us, we will always end up not only disappointed, but then we get very angry at the creation or at that person, because they're not doing what we expect them to do. And this actually creates more problems, because now I have all this resentment that you aren't, you're not really coming through. You're not really fulfilling the purpose that you are supposed to be fulfilling, which is to make me happy. So if we realize that the purpose of marriage is something beyond that, again, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us happiness. And one of the beautiful du'as in the Quran, where it says, رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ. So we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this dua to make our spouses and our offspring the coolness of our eyes. And so to give us that, you know, that happiness and, I mean, that contentment from them. But at the same time, there's a difference between that being my ultimate purpose. So if something is my ultimate purpose and it's not being fulfilled, that's when I give up. And so the idea here is that, yes, sometimes, this other person is going to make me happy, and sometimes they aren't. But again, the ultimate objective in the relationship has to be something beyond fulfilling myself. It's a greater objective. And that greater objective is to bring you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to bring you closer, nearer to your ultimate objective, which is the real happiness, right? The unending happiness in Jannah, inshallah. Now, when you view the relationship in that way, you really start to understand, you know, the idea of when the Prophet ﷺ says that, you know, marriage is half of our deen. And so, you know, this is a very profound statement. And if you think about marriage being half of the deen, you think about how marriage really helps you, subhanAllah, train. Because, you know, there's different aspects, you know, there might be different ways to learn sabr, or to learn shukr, or to learn, and different parts of your life might teach you that. But, you know, marriage really is an institution which helps you to build on all of those things. And so really, marriage helps train you in so many aspects of your deen. And so it's very befitting to say something, you know, to say that it's half your deen, because subhanAllah, it really is, it's almost like a training ground for half of your deen. It's really, you know, you can go and you can learn about concepts in lectures. You can go and you can read about concepts in books, but you're not really going to embody a quality unless you actually have to do it, unless it's actually experiential. So, you know, you learn something in lecture and then you have to have a lab, right? You have to have lab where you're applying it. And that's really what marriage is. It's like the laboratory of akhlaq, right? It's the laboratory where you're actually developing those concepts and all those character traits that you read about in books and that you hear about in lecture. You really will not embody them and really develop them until you're put in a situation where it's experiential. You actually have to work on it. And this happens in marriage. This happens anytime you're interacting with your family, in fact. And you'll look at, for example, another statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he says that khayrukum khayrun li ahli, that the best of you is the one who's the best to his family. If you look at that statement, you know, you can understand that it's very easy to be you know, it's very easy to be polite to, you know, your neighbor once in a while or the person at the grocery store because you don't really have to interact with them much. It's very easy to be polite to your boss because if you're not, it, you know, there's some consequence for you. But it's very easy to not be good to your family for a lot of reasons. One is that, well, you know, they're always going to be there. You kind of take them for granted. And so you can kind of get away with more with your family. And so the idea here is that, you know, the person who's really going to be the best is the one who's going to be the best, even when it's easy not to be the best, even when it's easy to, you know, just treat them however you have a bad day, you just take it out on them. Because the idea is, you know, they're always going to be there and there's no like direct consequence like it would be with your boss. So the Prophet ﷺ is saying that the best of you is the one who's the best even when it's very easy to be otherwise. It's very easy to not be caring or polite or considerate. So again, the idea of marriage as being, rather than being, a place for me to be fulfilled, instead, if you look at it as character development, it will completely change the way in which you interact with the other person, the way in which you respond when things aren't necessarily just the way you want them, or when there is disappointment, you're able to respond in a way where you can take that and you can say, okay, this is something that's helping me build my deen. Again, half your deen. This is something that's helping me develop myself, character development. Versus if my purpose was, you're supposed to be making me happy, well, then I'm going to expect that at every moment you should be making me happy. You should be fulfilling me. And if there's a moment where you're not, that's the end of the world, right? That's a big problem. And versus, you know, this whole endeavor is just another path for me to seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's another means for me to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, inshallah, what I really want to encourage people, get involved, talk, in the chat box, bring your comments, bring your questions. We want to make this, inshallah, interactive. We want to hear from you. What are your thoughts? What are your reflections, about what we've said? You know, what are some of the things that you think are pitfalls? What are some expectations that you think get people, you know, into trouble once that honeymoon period is over? Now, the other aspect with regards to relationships and, trying to make it work, I think I talked a lot about expectations because I think it's so essential. The easiest way to avoid disappointment is to manage expectations. And this is just, whether it's disappointment or it's anger, all of these things, the root of it is an improper expectation. So expectations are key. The other issue, which I think we don't put enough emphasis on, is what is going to make the other person happy? A lot of times we understand our own, the language of our own happiness. We understand our own, like, love language. What are the things that make me happy? But when you're doing something for the other person, you need to understand what matters to them. So if something, for them, there are certain things that are important. There are certain things that they enjoy. You want to try to do those things versus just, giving in the way that you want to be given, because sometimes, again, what matters to me might be different than what matters to my spouse. So one thing, and we've talked about this in other shows, but I just want to, revisit this point because I think it's so important, and it has to do with the fundamental needs of men and women. And what they've basically have talked about, relationship experts have talked about this. And again, this is just general. This is just a generalization. But in general, what they say is that men have, their primary need is to feel respected. And a woman's primary need is to feel loved. And so what happens is when a man feels like he's not being respected or his primary need is not being met, he will respond with, that will make him close up. That will make him respond harshly. And it's as a result of feeling disrespected. And that's the main thing that's generally most important for a man, is to feel that sense of, that I'm being respected and I'm being, you know, almost that sense of leadership, or that sense of, you know, that you respect that leadership in him. And at the same time, women, their primary need is usually to feel loved. And so if a woman feels unloved for one reason or another, then she will respond negatively to that. And what ends up happening, they talk about this thing called the crazy cycle. And what that means is it's this cycle of argumentation that happens between men and women. And when you don't understand the other person's primary needs, it's very easy to get stuck in this cycle, you know, and couples, they get stuck in this and they can't break out of it. And what that cycle is that when a woman feels unloved, she tends to respond with disrespect. That's the knee-jerk reaction of a woman. You know, if you do something to hurt me, my knee-jerk reaction is to be kind of disrespectful, or, you know, it's sort of like, you know, showing attitude, basically. That's my knee-jerk reaction when I feel like you're being inconsiderate or you're making me feel unloved. That's how I respond. This is just, you know, again, reflex. And as a result of that, the man is feeling disrespected. So then he responds by actually being even more unloving because he's feeling disrespected. And so the very problem was that the woman felt unloved, and now she's feeling even more unloved because he's becoming harsher and harsher and colder and colder. And the reason he's doing that is because he's feeling disrespected. And similarly, when a woman, and it's that cycle, right? So that the two are feeding on each other. And basically what they say that the solution to break out of that cycle is that the man shows unconditional love and the woman shows unconditional respect. And to just to sort of explain that very briefly, what it's talking about is that even when I don't feel loved, I do my utmost to still be respectful. And I can, and they teach, you know, ways in which you can communicate that that something hurt you without disrespect. At the same time, you know, you communicate that, you know, using the I statements and everything, that this is how I felt. And you do it in a way where it's, you're still being respectful, that if you do that, you're much more likely to have to get that love, which you were basically, that's what you're asking for. And the reason is that you've continued to be respectful and at the same time communicating your feelings. And similarly with the man, if a man, even if he's feeling disrespected, if he continues to still be considerate and loving towards the woman, he will, that will actually trigger respect from the woman. And so the idea, if both sides are, you know, unconditional respect and unconditional love, that's really, you know, the only way to break out of this cycle, which so many couples, you know, find themselves in. So inshallah, I'm going to take another quick break. And please, you know, write your comments in the chat box, your questions. And when we return, we'll discuss them. Assalamu alaikum. This is Yasmeen Mujahid, and you're listening to Serenity, streaming live on One Legacy Radio. We've been talking today about expectations in marriage, you know, what comes after the honeymoon period, how not to fall into that that disillusionment that might come due to improper expectations. I want to make a couple disclaimers, actually. One thing to make very, very clear, when we talk about expectations, again, this isn't to say, and I talked about fulfillment and you know, happiness and stuff. I want to make very clear that this isn't talking about that you're supposed to ignore or tolerate any form of abuse on any level, whether it's, you know, verbal, emotional, psychological, physical abuse. That this is something that, in fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want us to tolerate. He says that he does not want us to tolerate injustice on any level. And in fact, when we tolerate abuse or injustice, we're actually harming our own selves as well in terms of our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because what happens with abusive relationships is that the person who is abused begins to fear the abuser. And the only, you know, when I am, when I am so afraid of another person, then what happens is that I am thinking about that other person. I'm scared. I'm worried. And so actually it's occupying my mind and the fear that I should be having for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is now being instead displaced, you know, is instead towards this person. And so it is, no one should think that if I'm being abused that it's somehow more, you know, it's better or it's more pleasing to Allah for me to sit and take it. In fact, it's affecting and harming my relationship with Allah, because the only one who I should be, you know, fearing, the only one who I should be sitting up at night worrying what they think of me or what they're going to do to me is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It shouldn't be another person. And if it is another person, then that's a problem. And we need to break out of that, inshallah. And may Allah give us, the ability to break out of any type of unhealthy, abusive relationship on any level. Now, you know, again, and this is also talking, you know, theoretically about the idea of, you know, when I go into a relationship and my focus is, instead of being the purpose of this relationship is for you to make me happy at every moment, that isn't also to say that if I am, you know, there's like serious, you know, voids in my relationship and I am not in any way, you know, it's not fulfilling me in any way, or there are some serious rights of mine that are being neglected, that again, that is not something that should be ignored, that should be addressed. And you know, marriage is not also supposed to be empty. You know, it is, yes, first and foremost, it is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a means to get nearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But that does not mean that there should be no happiness there, that there should be no fulfillment. In fact, again, that is a benefit of marriage. What I wanted to focus on is that's not the ultimate purpose, but rather it should be a benefit. And if it is not at all, there's nothing there, that also definitely should be addressed. You know, one of the questions that someone had written in the chat box was about discussing that although we don't have expectations, you know, talking about the importance of still doing things for the other person. And that's extremely important, that, you know, giving gifts and different types of, you know, shows of care and affection. It's extremely important. And in fact, it's the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it's his sunnah that he used to be very loving and very affectionate. And he would show, you know, a lot of times, unfortunately, men think, more so men, it tends to be, they think that it's, you know, you love your wife, but it's not something that's really shown. It's not something that's expressed. And I mean, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself, you know, he's our example, and he used to show his love for his wives, and he used to, you know, he used to be very affectionate. So this is something that we should strive to do. You know, he says, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that if you love someone, you should tell them, you know, that this is something that you should express. And this brings the two, the couple closer together. So acts of kindness and gifts and that kind of thing definitely is something that, brings the hearts, inshallah, you know, closer together. And I want to, inshallah, also reflect on the ayah that we usually find on all of our wedding invitations. And it's the ayah in Surah Al-Rum, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسَكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and from among his signs is this, that he created from yourselves mates, and he, in order that you will dwell in tranquility with them, and he created love and mercy between your hearts. Now this ayah, subhanAllah, is so profound. One of the things that, you know, you can note about this ayah is it begins by saying that this is a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then it ends again by saying it's a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I think that that's so profound, because it really shows that even in this relationship itself, even in the so-called romantic love, right, that type of love, even that is a sign of God. Even that is a means to get nearer to God. Because all of the signs, like when I sit and I reflect on the ocean and the sun and the sky and all of that, what's the purpose of all of that? It's for me to look at it and for it to bring me nearer to Allah, for me to realize and learn something about who? About Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through his signs. And he's saying that even in this relationship, the focus is not the other person. The focus is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that this relationship itself is a pointer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and a window into Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a sign of Him. So subhanAllah, even that, where we make it such a, we make the other person really the object of our focus and the object of our obsession. But subhanAllah, even that, that person is actually just a reflection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That thing that we share between each other is a reflection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And inshallah, I will, I want to inshallah end with a dua. And I pray, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنْ وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make, you know, to make our spouses the coolness of our eyes and to rectify any issues that we may have in our marriages, and also to help us to build stronger marriages. أَقُولِ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفَرَ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ إِنَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُ بِحَمْدَكَ نَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ نَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَنَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ.